Welcome to the deep dive. Ever stop to think how much where you actually grew up might have shaped your career dreams?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question.
Today, we're getting into a really interesting study that tries to unravel that connection between young people's ambitions and, the neighborhoods they live in.
That's right. We're basing this on a PhD thesis from the University of Manchester back in 2014. It's called Place, Space, and Imagined Futures: How Young People's Occupational Aspirations Are Shaped by the Areas They Live In.
Catchy title.
Huh. Well, it's academic, but what's great about it is the approach. It uses a mix of detailed interviews in one specific area, side by side with a huge national survey across the UK.
So you get the deep stories and the big picture.
Exactly. Gives you both depth and breadth.
And for you, the learner, always curious about what shapes us, this should be really insightful. We're looking at something place that maybe doesn't always jump out when thinking about careers.
Right, it's often sort of background noise.
Our goal here is just to pull out the main ideas from this research, make it clear, without getting too bogged down in academic jargon. Okay, let's dive in.
So the core question really is this: does the neighborhood itself, its characteristics, actually affect what young people aim for? And crucially, does it have an effect beyond things we already know matter, like individual talent or family background?
Because you'd normally think, okay, it's about your parents' jobs or how well you do in school, right?
Precisely. Those are obviously important. But this research asks, is there another layer? Something about the environment?
And this isn't just theoretical pondering, is it? It connects to actual policy stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You often hear policymakers talking about low aspirations, particularly in, say, more deprived areas.
Yeah, that phrase comes up a lot.
And it's often seen as this barrier to education or getting a good job.
Yeah.
There's even been this idea that you can design programs to actively raise aspirations.
Okay, so that brings us to a pretty fundamental point. What are we talking about when we say aspirations? It can't just be a vague daydream.
No, and the research is quite careful here. It makes a clear distinction between aspirations, that's what you hope for, your ideal future job, and expectations.
Expectations being.
What you realistically think you'll achieve,
Yeah.
what seems possible or likely given your situation. And they aren't always the same thing.
I can imagine. You might aspire to be an astronaut, but expect to work locally.
Something like that. Yeah,
Yeah.
the gap between the two can tell you a lot.
Okay, so what factors did this study find actually shape those aspirations, the hopes?
Well, it identified quite a few interconnected things. One big one is material hardship.
Rack of money, basically.
Yeah. And that can lead to aspirations becoming less about a specific dream career and more focused on immediate needs, like getting a decent wage, job security.
So practicality takes over.
It often does. It might mean aiming for a job with steady pay, even if it's not your passion, not necessarily low ambition, just reprioritize ambition, perhaps.
That makes a lot of sense. What else?
Then there's human capital. That's not just your skills, but also how you perceive your skills and what skills seem valued around you.
Right. And what about the people around you?
That's socialization.
Yep.
You know, watching family, neighbors, the community, you absorb ideas about what kinds of jobs are normal or desirable or even possible for people like us.
Seeing what people actually do for a living nearby.
Exactly. Which links to opportunity structures, what jobs are actually available locally, what are the real pathways to get them?
If the main employer is a factory, that's what you see.
Precisely. And finally, social capital. Who you know. Your networks, your family's connections, they can open doors, provide advice, support.
Okay, so networks matter too. Now, the thesis title mentioned place and space. What's the difference they're making there?
Ah, yes, that's a really key concept in the research. It argues that place isn't just space. It's not just a dot on a map or a set of statistics.
So more than just geography.
Much more. Place includes all the meetings, the feelings, the shared stories and experiences that people attach to an area. It's shaped by, living there, interacting with people. It's subjective.
So space is the physical area, the postcode, maybe the census data,
Right.
but place is how it feels to live there, the reputation, the community vibe.
You've got it. It's the socially constructed meaning of that space.
Okay. And this links back to the low aspirations idea.
It does, and in a really interesting way,
Yeah.
because the research actually challenges that simple narrative that deprived area automatically equals low aspirations.
Oh.
Yeah, some studies mentioned in the thesis found that young people in these areas don't necessarily lack ambition. Their aspirations might just be, well, shaped differently.
How so?
For some, a really strong aspiration might be simply to get out of that deprived area, to escape it.
So the aspiration isn't low, it's just directed elsewhere, motivated by the place itself, in a way.
Exactly. Ambition driven by a desire for something different from their immediate surroundings.
To dig into this, they did a case study, right? In Manchester.
Yes, an in-depth study in Wythenshawe, which is a very large social housing estate there. It was chosen partly because it's the kind of place often stereotyped as having issues with aspirations and outcomes.
Right, going into the heart of it. So what did they find talking to young people there? How did they see Wythenshawe?
Well, the interviews showed quite a range of views, actually. Not monolithic at all. They identified about four main ways young people conceived of their area.
Okay, what were they?
Some had what the researchers called a dysfunctional view. They saw it negatively, lacking opportunities, maybe highlighting problems like crime or drugs.
Uh-huh.
Just not a great place to be.
Right, focusing on the negatives.
Then others were quite territorial, very defensive of Wythenshawe, often pushing back against negative stereotypes they heard from outsiders. They'd stress the good community, the good people living there.
Sort of protective pride.
Yeah. A third perspective was provisional. These young people saw Wythenshawe as temporary, like a stepping stone. Their focus was firmly on moving away, moving somewhere else they saw as having better opportunities.
A waiting room, almost.
Kind of. And finally, some had more of a material view. They focused on the physical aspects, maybe appreciating the green spaces, the parks, local facilities.
Wow, so quite different takes on the same place. Did their career hopes reflect these views?
They looked at that too, yeah.
Yeah.
They analyzed the nature of the aspirations. Were they mainly material focused on money? Or immaterial about enjoyment, making a difference?
Okay.
Were they specific, like, I want to be an electrician, or more general, like, I want a job helping people?
Right.
And also, did the aspirations seem heavily structured by outside forces, like family, or what was available locally? Or did they show more individual agency, reflecting personal passions?
Lots of dimensions there. And did they connect the view of the place with the type of aspiration?
They did find links, yes. For instance, some young people with that dysfunctional view of Wythenshawe tended to have more material aspirations.
Ha, wanting the money to escape, maybe?
That seemed to be part of it, yeah. A drive for financial security as a way out. And those with a provisional view, wanting to leave, often had aspirations geared towards jobs they thought existed outside Wythenshawe.
It really paints a picture of how you're feeling about your home turf can channel your dreams.
Absolutely. The lived experience of place directly feeding into the imagined future.
But that's the deep local picture. They also did the big national survey.
Correct. The second part used data from Understanding Society, which is this huge UK-wide panel survey. Thousands of people.
Following people over time.
Yes. So they could look for broader patterns. They checked if area-level things like deprivation scores or the type of neighborhood based on a standard classification.
Like classifying areas as, say, urban diverse or rural agricultural.
Exactly, that kind of thing, using the output area classification. They looked if those area types correlated with young people's aspirations nationally after accounting for individual and family factors.
So controlling for things like parents' education, income, etc. And how did they measure aspirations in that big survey?
It was a bit broader, naturally. They looked mainly at two things. First, did the young person state a specific job aspiration at all?
Or were they undecided, maybe?
Right. And second, what was the level of that aspiration? They used a common split. Was the job professional, managerial, or technical, PMT for short? Or was it something else?
Okay, sort of higher skilled, often degree-level jobs versus others.
Generally, yes. It's a standard way to categorize in this kind of research.
So the big national picture, what came out? Any surprises?
There were definitely some interesting, maybe even surprising findings. For one, young people in the least educationally deprived areas.
The areas you'd think are doing well.
Yes. They were actually less likely to name a specific job they wanted.
Huh. Less likely. Why do you think that might be?
Well, the study doesn't give a definitive answer, but you could speculate. Maybe more options feels overwhelming. Less pressure to decide early on. It's not entirely clear.
Interesting. What else?
Less surprising, perhaps. If a young person had high educational aspirations planning on uni, say they were much more likely to aim for those PMT jobs. That makes sense.
Sure. Education and career goals linking up.
And parental background mattered, too. Parents' education level, their jobs, strongly influenced the kids' aspirations. That fits with lots of other research.
Right. The apple not falling far from the tree sometimes.
But here's a really intriguing one. they found that young people whose parents had never worked.
You might expect lower aspirations there, maybe.
That's the common assumption, perhaps. But they actually found these young people were more likely to have high PMT aspirations.
Really? More likely?
Yeah. It could be a powerful drive to achieve something different. A reaction against their parents' experience, maybe. A strong desire for upward mobility.
That definitely challenges the simple deprivation leads to low aspiration idea again.
It really does.
So what about the direct effect of the area characteristics in this big data set? Did neighborhood type or deprivation level really show up strongly once you accounted for family background?
The analysis did find some statistically significant links between area factors and aspirations. So place did seem to matter on a national scale, too.
Okay.
However, the size of these effects wasn't always huge. And importantly, these area effects often got weaker or sometimes disappeared once you statistically controlled for the individual and family factors.
Ah, so it's hard to fully separate the influence of the place from the influence of the people living there, the personal circumstances.
Exactly. It suggests that while the area plays a role, its influence is very much tangled up with and probably mediated by things like family resources, parental education, individual school experiences. It's complex.
So putting it all together, the detailed Wythe and Shaw stories and the big national patterns, what's the overall conclusion?
I think the synthesis points to this. Place does matter. It shapes how young people see the world, the opportunities they perceive, how they imagine their own futures.
Yeah.
But it's not deterministic.
It's not destiny.
No.
Yeah.
It's not a simple equation like bad area, low dreams. Young people are actively making sense of their surroundings, comparing them, reacting to them, forming their own ambitions within that context, even in tough circumstances.
That feels like a much more nuanced and, well, hopeful picture, actually.
I think so, too. It acknowledges the constraints, but also the agency of young people.
Okay, so let's wrap up this deep dive if there's one key thing for us to take away.
I'd say it's that where you grow up really does subtly but powerfully influence the shape of your career dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about you as an individual or your family. The place itself, the opportunities there, the way people feel about it, the local stories, it all feeds in.
It's a powerful reminder. Makes you reflect on your own background, doesn't it? For you, the learner, think about it. How might your hometown or neighborhood have nudged your aspirations in ways you maybe didn't even realize at the time?
Definitely food for thought. And of course, if you want the full story, the original PhD thesis by Sam Bars from Manchester in 2014 has all the detailed analysis, the stats, the interview quotes. It's a rich piece of work.
And one final thought to leave you with. If we understand better how place does shape these hopes and dreams, what does that mean for trying to create, you know, a more level playing field? How do we help ensure young people have fair opportunities wherever they happen to grow up?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It certainly is something to keep thinking about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.